Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, this morning, if you're new today, then let me kind of catch up to speed. We're in the last part of a three-part series called Welcome to the Future. I almost said Back to the Future. I don't know whether you have that, like you kind of think that way, but welcome to the future. And what we're doing is we're sharing about the future, things we believe we're believing God for, inviting you to become a part of investing in it. And three things primarily we're believing God for. First of all, we see a future where the James River Joplin campus has a permanent church home. Every single week, they're loading in at 5:30 in the morning, getting everything all set up at the rented facility, taking it all down after the second service, and then they do it again on Wednesday night. They do it when it's hot. They do it when it's cold. They do it when it's wet. They do it when they're tired. They do it when they don't feel like it. When they do feel like it, they're doing it. So we need to get them a permanent church home. It will help us in ministering to that entire region if we can get a permanent place where through the week we can meet with people and disciple people. It will help us to impact that city. So we're raising the funds necessary to accomplish that. Second, we're raising the funds necessary to renovate the South Campus, now 20 years old, and there are major parts of the building that just simply have had a lot of wear and tear. It's a massive building, and so the choice would be to try to borrow money to do that, but here's where we're at on that. We believe it's God's will for the church to not be involved in any more long-term debt. We're not raising money to pay off debt, but we're on a schedule to be debt-free in 4 years. We believe that that's part of God's future for the church. We're excited about that. So we're sharing with people about this campaign. You've got the brochure there at your seat. You can see some of the pictures. And we've been talking with leadership at what we've called the Dessert Night Fellowship. And then the last two Sundays, we've been sharing with people. And this will be the final Sunday. It's an opportunity for you to jump in and to be a part of something that's miraculous. We haven't done a campaign here for 9 years. This will be our ninth campaign in 28 years, but it's been 9 years. And I thank God for what's happened through the years because of the campaign, that every single campaign has made it possible for the ministry to expand. We've got people at the West Campus because of a campaign. We've got kids in our youth area and in the children's area because of a campaign. This auditorium was the result of people who gave for a campaign, stepped out in faith. And God's going to do the same thing through this. People are going to come to know Christ in Joplin. It's going to keep this campus relevant for the next several decades as we make the modifications and the renovations that need to happen. Let me simply say this. We've said it at every dessert night. We've said it on every Sunday morning that we've talked about this. This campaign is not for people who have to. It's for people who want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But it's for people who say, you know what? I believe in what God is doing in the church. I believe that God is a God who wants to bless me. I believe that I can't outgive God. And I'm going to step out in faith and believe God to bless my life, to bless my finances as I give my finances toward the meeting of this need. So we're excited about what God is doing. The first week, we shared with you the pictures and talked through why we would do it and gave you some comparisons to help you understand what we're doing. If you didn't hear the message, whether you give or not, it would be good for you to go back and listen to it. Last week, we talked about the laws of the harvest, and it was an exciting. In fact, I'm going to say this, in all my time as a pastor, I have never been through a campaign so exciting as this campaign. When we were at the dessert nights, people were on their feet cheering. On the first week that we shared in here, standing ovation city during the message. Last week, people were on their feet cheering, standing ovation again. As we were talking about the law of the harvest, and we used the illustration of somebody who was holding a seed, and as long as they held that seed, listen, if you and I hold the seed that God gives us, and we don't release it, we don't plant it, that seed in our hand will die. That seed in our hand can never multiply. That seed in our hand can never give us a harvest. And God can want to pour out blessing, but if our hands close, we don't have the capacity to receive more than is already in our closed fist. On the other hand, when we plant the seed, a seed planted in ground can bring 60-fold, can bring 120-fold in the illustration I used with corn, 180-fold in multiplying. And when our hands open, God pours out blessing upon blessing. It was very, very exciting. I've had a lot of people talk about it and just say, man, that illustration, I will always remember that. It's the law of the harvest. So this has been a campaign really characterized by joy, honestly, because, hey, listen, we only want people to do it because they want to do it. And we know this. We know that God's going to bless people. So today what I want to do, just a very short message, simple message, I want to talk to you about why Debbie and I would give. We have 8 grandkids, and honestly, the 8 grandkids could be a reason in itself to give, because you know what? When I think of what this church has done for my children in terms of their discipleship, when we came here, David was 7 years old, Brandon was 5 years old, and Savannah was 4 years old. My kids have grown up in this church. I'm grateful to the church, to the people who have served in the various departments, who have, along with us, discipled them, have developed them, have kindled in them a passion for the things of God. I know what it will do to a child if they are involved in a church, if they're brought to church, if you as a parent get involved, you get your kids. People will ask me at times, how do you get such good kids? Get your kids in church and you be in church. Don't just drop them off. You come. When it's time to serve in the church, serve in the church. Talk about the church. Love the church. We taught our kids to be lovers of the church, not critics of the church. We celebrated the good things God was doing. And let them know that and be a part of that. And we've seen the fruit of that. Now I'm watching my grandkids, which would be reason enough to give again, is because I know this. I know what it did in my own children's life. It's going to do in theirs. And I love it when I'm watching it already, because we've got 8 grandkids under the age of 9. And just to watch the things that they're doing, to see them worshiping, to hear them when they come back from camp, as they're having that time at camp, to watch them get baptized when they turn 8 years old. They're so excited to get baptized and to watch what happens, to see them engaging in the life of the church, so that like 2 of Brandon and Beth's kids were like, we want to fast. And you know, any parent's like, you need to eat so you can grow type thing, you know. But to watch them say, we're going to fast a meal that last week of the fast, because they heard, they saw what God was doing. To watch my 8-year-old granddaughter say, I'm going to make a welcome to the future pledge, to see her make a $100 pledge. I was just like, wow, that's so cool. She already knows she has a big God and a generous grandfather. She's raising money this summer to buy her brothers and her sister a present that would be from her, not with her mom and dad's money. So she's making bookmarks and she's selling them for 50 cents a piece. And her dad says, that's way too cheap. And grandpa will pay a whole lot more. And he's right. I mean, to invest in your children, it's an exciting, exciting thing. To invest in the generations, the Bible says one generation declares your glory to the next. That's a part of what this is about. It's about seeing the future. It's about seeing what God wants to do, what God will do if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries. It's believing that the best is yet to come. It's believing that the nose of the plane is still pointed up. And I'm here to tell you today that it is. It's saying we're going to be ready. We're going to believe that heaven's going to advance, that the kingdom of God is going to be built, that God is going to do something that exceeds our expectation. That's what Welcome to the Future is all about. So let me just briefly give you some reasons why we love giving. I love giving because I love being a part of the church that God is building. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to the disciples, "I will build my church." And watch this, "and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Jesus is building his church. He's building his church at James River Church. It's so incredible to watch him build his church. I'm not going to give you every single stat, but I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit and just let you hear some of the things that I'm excited about. You know, people at times will say, "You seem so excited," and I am. When I watch what God is doing, when I see the way he's touching lives, when I watch him build the church, honestly, it's breathtaking. And I live in this breathless awe, having watched what he's doing personally and what he's doing in different areas for the church. It's amazing. After 28 years here, I still can't believe all I'm seeing him do. You say, like what? Well, I was driving down the road yesterday. I come up to the interchange at CC and 65. They've cleared off all of the construction, and now I'm driving on a 6-lane highway, brand new, that goes right by James River Church. I'm driving on a 6-lane highway that the 6 lanes end at the exit for James River Church. I'm telling you, in my wildest imagination, I never would have imagined that James River, that this land would be on a 6-lane highway. Are you kidding me? Wow, God is building his church. He's making it easy for people to get here. I like that. I like it to be easy for people to get to church. You know, you go by the North Campus, do you realize they're taking a 2-lane highway and they're turning it into a 4-lane highway right there in front of the North Campus. He's building his church. I was watching the news last night and they were talking about the growth of Republic, and they were talking about all of the growth that's happening out there between there and Springfield, and I thought, praise God, he's sending more people for us to reach at the West Campus. He's building his church. Well, let me just give you some stats here. Already this year, compared to last year, we're up in decisions quite a bit by about 142, but we've already had 1,060 people who've made decisions for Jesus Christ. Is that not awesome? Praise God, he's building his church. We've talked about the baptisms. In the last 3 weeks, we've had 386 people get baptized in water. He's building his church. Do you realize that already this year, in baptizing people, we've baptized 1,150 people. He's building his church. And what I get excited about when I hear that is, we talked about it on the baptism, that there's something that happens. It's not just you getting wet. It is you following the Lord. And when you do that, it opens your life up to a new freedom, a new delivering power. It doesn't save you, but it does move you forward in God in a powerful way. He's building his church. This past Wednesday night, I was so excited because we had the largest Wednesday night attendance in the history of James River on a regular Wednesday night. Almost 6,700 people here on a Wednesday night. Are you kidding me? He's building his church. We had outreaches with the youth. We had outreaches with the elementary. The result was between the elementary and the youth, we had, are you ready for this? 222 young people who made decisions for Christ. Come on, that's awesome. He's building his church. I think about that. I think about the camps, what's happening at camps, the 420 students who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the over 500 students who heard the gospel, made decisions for Christ. When I watch what God is doing and I think about kids coming to Christ, honestly, I get excited. It touches me because that's how I came to Christ. My sisters heard the gospel. They came to Christ. They went home. My mom came to Christ. Then my brother and I came to Christ. Then 25 years later, my dad came to Christ. Listen, when you're reaching students, when you're reaching children, you're touching the future and you're touching families. Jesus is building his church. Get excited. We're getting ready for our Life Group Leaders Conference. If I'd invite you to come, you ought to come. It's a very fun half day. You will love it. We always have a lot of fun at it. And you say, I'm not a leader. Well, you're not yet, but come. Come to the Life Group Leaders Conference. Our Life Group department, though, we're up in Life Groups by 15%. He's building his church. In our college, our first year students, we're up by 24%. He's building his church. When it comes to reaching out in the community project partnership, if you don't know what that is, since the 90s, we've been going in to public schools and doing renovation in the summer, painting and doing all kinds of upgrades to the landscaping and the teacher's lounge and every classroom, and it's been powerful. This year, we had a record number of James River people involved. Almost 1,400 people involved in project partnership. We turn around a month later, we gave the Springfield Public School System nearly 3,000 backpacks to give to the kids. He's building his church. The Design for Life Conference, the Men's Conference, we had an amazing conference, the Design for Life Conference, record registrations. He's building his church. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next month. Ladies, if you've not signed up, you need to sign up because God is building his church. Listen, we have the opportunity to be a part of something that is an anomaly in the church world. Sometimes my concern is that as a pastor is that everybody gets used to it and kind of, what else is new? Listen, we're sitting in a miracle. We're seeing God do things that are not ordinary. They are truly extraordinary. We're watching God do things it's not natural. It's supernatural. Church growth, people say whatever a church is going to do, it's got to do in the first 15 years. Because statistically, after that, churches decline. Here we are 28 years later, and we're watching the grace of God in a greater way than ever before. We're seeing lives transformed. We're seeing people growing in God. We're seeing the kingdom advance. We're a part of something that is supernaturally wonderful and, for Springfield, historic. I mean, it's amazing. I pray you never lose sight of the awe and awe of what God is doing in this place. People ask me at times, they say, I can remember back when we first started the church, when we were going, and people would say, how long do you think this will last? Because people recognized it was unusual. I said, well, it'll last as long as everybody keeps their heart right. I mean, as soon as people start fighting one another, they're not going to be fighting the devil and it's all over. And you know what? Y'all are keeping your heart right. We're all serving God. and loving God and loving people and caring about the things he cares about. And the result is God is going before us in a way that is honestly incredible. I'm not making comparative or competitive statements, but I have to simply acknowledge the goodness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, that I would line up with Scripture and declare what God has done. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. All praise be to him for what he's doing at James River Church. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. He's doing it. Praise God. Drive by the church, and Debbie will tell you, I say this a lot. When I say the church, it could be this campus, it could be the West Campus, it could be the North Campus, could be where Joplin's new campus is going to be. And I drive by there, or the East Campus land, people ask about that. Hey, I just know God's going to do something amazing up there. He gave us that land. But when we drive by, over and over again, I'll say, if ever there was a church God loved, it's that church. I mean, they're just, his hand is on it. Over and over again, Sunday after Sunday, Debbie and I will go home, and we'll be sitting down, and we'll be looking at one another. And here's what we'll do. Literally, we will say, can you believe that? That's like crazy. I mean, to us, we're astounded. We're in awe. We're like, this is incredible. To God be the glory. Well, we give because we love seeing Jesus build the church. Second, I love watching God bless as people step out in faith. Listen, I know what God has done in our own life through the giving of our finances and through faith giving. I know what he's done in the lives of other people. In fact, this week is very interesting, unsolicited. I've probably had 3 or 4 conversations with people, business people, who have said, you know what, I started coming, it didn't make sense when I heard about tithing. I was like, are you kidding me? How would I do that? But we stepped out, we began to do that, and we saw God bless us. It didn't make sense, but all of a sudden, we had more, and we saw God bless us, and then we started giving to missions, and we're excited about the campaign, because honestly, we just know that giving, God blesses it. It's true. Some of you I know, you've stepped out in faith, and now all of a sudden, you're thinking, oh, man, should I have done that? What have I done? Can I sneak into the church and get my card back? I mean, you know, listen to what Jesus said. Give and you will receive. You say, well, I know God will give, but no, watch this. Your gift will return to you in full. See, a lot of times people give and they're like, well, that's gone. Oh, you're going to get it back. And you say, well, I hope I get most of it back. No, you're going to get it back in full. Only God's definition of full is different than your definition of full. If you tell me, hey, can you loan me some money? I'll pay you back in full. You mean I'll give you every cent I gave you back. When God pays you back, watch. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. God's paid in full is like, I'm just going to pour it out on you like you can't believe. The last campaign, we shared stories, and it's fun to go back and to look at some of those stories and then watch what God has done. I wish we'd had time to update this story to today, but the story itself stands on its own. Here's a story of Christy from the last campaign, our one campaign to build the West Campus.
I remember Pastor John talking about how that if we're just faithful and that we just do what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, that God will provide. I just really felt the Holy Spirit telling me that I needed to give $10,000. Even though there was a lot of conflict there in my heart, thinking, how am I going to provide for my kids and at the same time provide for this one campaign, I knew that God would be faithful. God just brought to my mind that I'd been saving money for a car, but I only had a few hundred. I did what Pastor John said, and I gave as much as I could at the very beginning, which was all I had saved for the car. And I thought, God, I'm just trusting you to take care of me, take care of my boys, and provide a car for us. I ended up losing my job. And it was a very difficult moment for me. When that happened, I didn't really go into a state of panic because God has just been so faithful through the years. But I did start praying very heavily. After my position was eliminated, they didn't want me leaving the company, which was good news. Then my boss came to me and he said, hey, Christy, I've got a perfect job for you. And I said, okay, what? And he said, how about you become the PMO lead for our insurance industry? And so I went from literally one moment, my job is gone, I don't know what I'm gonna do, to a promotion and a raise and the job of my dreams. It just shows that, you know, God is faithful. We don't have to worry about what we can do or what we can't do. We just have to be faithful to God. You know, our heart has to be right. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit will just speak to our hearts, and then we just have to obey. And that's what I did.
Isn't that awesome? And that's exactly the way, I mean, that's one example. If you could see what God's continued to do in your life, you'd say, wow, it's amazing. I'm just telling you, I love watching people be blessed. I love hearing the stories of people who are blessed. We had a brief board meeting, and one of the board members just started talking about their journey. And I can remember when I sat down and talked with them, because they're like an accountant and they're coming to the church, and I talked to them personally about tithing, and they're like, hey, I can show you my budget. There's no money. And I'm like, listen, if you'll trust God, you'll be shocked at what God will do. And he's like, you know, man, we did that. And he said, I can just tell you, it works, it works, it works, it works, it works, it works. That from a numbers guy. I'm just simply saying, I love watching people get blessed. Number three, I love seeing people come to know Jesus. I love it. One of the most exciting moments in any service for me is when I see people, whether I'm the speaker or I'm simply watching. I love watching people rededicate their life to Christ. I love seeing people get saved. I love to hear the stories. Listen, this is the heart of God. I love being a part of a church that understands and values this idea that God has raised us up to reach the lost, that is what's important, that God has called this church to reach the lost by reaching young families. And as a church, you've never wavered from that. I love that. It's the heart of God. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He gave us the Great Commission, sending us out in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a Great Commission, not the great option. It's the Great Commission. It's what God has called us to do. I see people getting saved. I get excited because I realize that when a child gets saved, their parents are going to get saved. I realize when parents get saved, it's going to change the dynamics of a marriage. It's going to change the dynamics in a home. It's going to change what those kids experience. It's going to change their experience of God and his goodness. And then their family's going to see it, and their friends are going to see it, and other people are going to come to know Christ. Listen, if the church is big, it's because everybody in this room understands the value of knowing Christ and the difference that knowing Christ makes in a person's life. So when I hear that 122 kids or 222 kids got saved Wednesday night, I get excited. When I think of Joplin and the Joplin campus in a temporary home, and they've had 396 people come to Christ. Imagine that. 396 people have come to know the life-changing power of Jesus. I get excited. And I want to share with you some of their stories.
I was searching for a place to go. I came here, I just felt at home right away. You just feel God's presence as soon as you drive up on the parking lot.
Before the Joplin campus, I was kind of lost. I didn't really know where to go. When I got here, everybody was very friendly and just laid back, and it just felt like home.
A friend from work had invited me to church, and so when I got invited to James River, we came here, and I was mind blown.
We got the flyer in the mail that they were going to open a campus here in Joplin, and I just knew that we needed to attend. From the moment we stepped in, it felt right.
Like, it was just incredible. I could just see, like I said, a whole bunch of children. I was like, wow, like everybody's raising their hands, like just getting pumped up. And I was like, there's something way different about James River, like way different.
Whenever I got here, I noticed that it was just different. Like, everybody just seemed genuinely happy.
The family that is here already, that have welcomed me into, you know, being part of their family here. So now I feel like this is my home, and I hadn't left since then.
In the last several years, I had kind of just really lost my way.
I was kind of just at a standstill in my faith, and I was looking for more, and I've definitely found more at James River.
I was amazed. I was impacted. I felt the Holy Spirit. I recommitted my life to Jesus Christ. It's just been amazing how He's been working in my life.
I was really moved by the Holy Spirit and ended up rededicating my life to Christ that day.
I ended up giving my life to the Lord. I saw a huge transformation.
A big weight lifted off of my shoulders, and ever since then, just being here, it's just been, my life has changed.
It's just everything changed. It seemed like overnight. We've had so many blessings just in the short time that we've attended.
We've already brought some people from my work to church, been able to start a life group here and host a life group, which we've never done before.
My walk with Christ has just really grown, like trying to like do whatever I can, praying, fasting, to be closer to Him.
Immediately got into the dream team, the growth track, and I haven't looked back since. It really has been a life changer.
We're happier as a family. It's really just been a life-changing experience. I know that the best is still yet to come.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, if a temporary campus is seeing that, imagine what a permanent campus would see. I'd like to introduce you to our campus pastor in Joplin, Justin Johncher. Come on out. Let's welcome him to the South Campus. So Justin kind of looks a little bit like Brandon, you know, really. So you take the glasses off, and either he's a body double for Brandon or Brandon's a body double for him. So the Joplin campus will always think their pastor's never on vacation. We just send Brandon down there and they'll think it's... So no, Justin's a great guy. He and Elise were on staff here at the church for several years, served so faithfully and effectively. And then when they just built a house, and then we said, hey, would you consider going to Joplin? And they were like, we're on, sold their house, moved to Joplin. And it's been so exciting to watch the way the Lord is using them, the favor that God is giving them. And so Justin, tell us a little bit about what God's doing at Joplin.
Well, it's been absolutely amazing. And just to think that next Sunday will be our 1 year anniversary. And again, to see 396 people in the first year is absolutely amazing. And you know, as we set out to Joplin and to start into uncharted territory, taking James River Church for the first time into a brand new city, there were several things I was really praying specifically about. The first was that we would see people saved, and we're seeing that. The second thing I was praying is that the people have always talked about James River as being a place of enthusiasm and excitement. I asked God, Lord, help us to reproduce that in Joplin as well. Let your presence of the Lord be on that campus, even that portable campus like it is in Springfield. That when people come into the driveway, when people come onto that property, that they would sense something's different about this place. And can I tell you this? There is not a week that goes by that someone either tells me or one of our team members that they have never seen so much joy and enthusiasm in a church, that when they pulled into the parking lot, when they were standing in worship, that they felt the presence of God like they never have before. God is going before us in a really, really big way.
Well, not only that, you guys are making some real inroads into the community. Tell us about this summer, some of the things that have happened.
Yeah, it's been an exciting summer. We were able to do our very first project partnership in Joplin. And what's so cool about God is he always does more than you can ask or imagine. We went to the Joplin School District, said, we'd like to do this. We'd like to partner with you. They chose a school that not only impacts the city of Joplin, but five major school systems around Joplin. We were going to do a third of the project, but our dream team kept signing up at a rate that we kept going back to them saying, we can actually do more. We can actually do more. We did three times the size of project that we had originally planned to do just because the people kept signing up. They said, we've never seen anything like this. And then just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor, we had our very first, man, the year of first has been so awesome. A year of first. We had our very first back to school night, and all five of the major superintendents were at our back to school night. It was so cool to watch them before. It was amazing. But after the night, they all just came up to me and were like, this was unbelievable. We've never seen anything like this in a church. Please invite us back next year. So you're already invited. You're coming. But the Lord really went before us in a powerful way.
Come on, let's thank the Lord. That is such favor to be able to influence five school systems in the greater Joplin area. Because the James River Joplin campus is not just about reaching Joplin. Joplin has 50,000 people in the city limits. 10-mile radius, there's almost 100,000. 20-mile radius, you have about 250,000 people. I believe God has positioned that campus to be a lighthouse in the greater Joplin area and in Southwest Missouri to initiate what God wants to do. We're not the whole answer, but we want to be a part of the answer to seeing a revival that sweeps Southwest Missouri and all the state and then the country. Absolutely, that's our prayer. One of the things that has, you know, really been exciting to watch is just the way Justin and Elise, they have two daughters, and Elise would be here, but their kids are sick today. But one of the things that's been exciting to watch is not only the favor that God has given them, but the way they've wholeheartedly jumped in. And so they have been, you know, game on all the way through. It's not easy. It's very, very hard to launch a church, a campus, even when James River's behind it. Because James River essentially gave you, what, 150 people or 100, between 100 and 150 people?
Only for 6 months.
Only
for
six months,
and you took them back. Well, so, which was fine.
How many people moved?
We had probably 24 people move to the area, at least.
2,000 people?
No, two dozen. 2,000's in the future. That's coming.
How many people moved to the area from here?
About 24 families.
Two dozen. You said 2,000. I was like, wow. Yeah. Where'd they all go? So the campus is running, you know, around 700 people. So you think of that. We had 24 people that moved. We seeded the group with 100, 150 people. A lot of people said, I'll go for a year and then I'm going to come back, or I'll go for 6 months and come back. But they have been faithful, and you're seeing with 400 people getting saved. But then we come to this building campaign, and you know, Debbie and I shared with you what we're going to do, because in First Chronicles, that's the biblical pattern. The leader, David, said, this is what I'm going to give for the construction of God's house. This is not giving alms to the poor. Like Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. When you're helping people with needs personally, you're giving to the poor, you do it quietly because you want to guard people's dignity. But when you're building the house of God, David stood up and said, listen, I want you to know I'm in. And so Debbie and I, we've told you what we're going to do. We're going to give more than $100,000. You say, why do you say more than? Because the more than keeps becoming more than. So I'm just going to say more than. But that's the way it's worked in our heart. Initially, we're going to do 100. And then the more I talk about it, the more I see what God is doing, the more we want to do. But this past week, in just looking at some things, it was pointed out what Justin's doing. And I was like, oh my goodness, tell us a little bit about you and Elise and your journey and what you're doing. I think it's good for you to know, and for the Joplin campus to know, here's what our leader's gonna do. How invested is he in what we're trying to accomplish?
One of the things that we have grown in so much at James River Church is our faith and our giving. As we look back at the past, it's just been so evident. Pastor says it so often that God will never owe a man a thing. And I never want the past to be greater than what God's going to do in our future. And so as we were praying for that, we were just asking God, how do you want us to give to this campaign? And we had kind of settled on a number that was really going to stretch our faith, but we were believing. We've seen God do it in the past, and we know he's going to do it again in the future. We were sitting at our seventh and final dessert night here at the South Campus, and Pastor was talking specifically about the Joplin campus and the plans, and I just felt like the Lord challenged me to increase our commitment by 50%. And I asked for clarification in that moment. I said, Lord, was that 50 or 15? This is very important right now. And he confirmed it was 50%. And you know, I was worried in the moment for about a moment, but then just faith began to fill my heart and said, if God's telling me to do it, he knows already how he's gonna supply it, and I just wanna be a part of the journey. And so we're excited over the next 2 years to be able to commit $75,000. We don't know how it's gonna happen, but we do know that it's gonna happen because God's gonna do it.
You know, and just so you understand, I mean, that's more than his annual salary. So the step of faith is huge. I know this. And honestly, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, I wear this bracelet. It's a Welcome to Future bracelet. The reason why I wear it is because it prompts me to pray for you. Because as a pastor, I feel responsibility, and God has to remind me, listen, you're not responsible for fulfilling people's pledges. I am. You're not God, but you can pray and you can ask me and I'll answer your prayers. When I see commitment like that, I'm like, God, show up, show your power, do something that when people hear it, they're like, whoa. And when I see that kind of faith, I'm just like, that is so awesome. And my heart, it just stirs my heart. And I know this. I know God's going to be faithful. Can't wait to see what God's going to do. He'll repay you in full, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I know that to be true. Yeah. Justin, we love you, and Elise. Let's give him a big round of applause. One last reason, then we'll close. I love giving because it changes my heart. It does something in me. It causes me, anytime you have like Mission Sunday, Missions Emphasis. I mean, this last year was really big for me because as I was listening to the message, I mean, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me and saying, seriously, you think I'm going to have to help you do what you're writing down? Do you think you're going to really have my help to make that happen? And I was like, no. And so it really is it's a come to Jesus moment. Lord, I'm gonna do more. And the Lord put a figure in my heart. I love that kind of moment when God says, would you just trust me? Would you just trust me? And I love what it does to my heart because honestly, then when you give, you become very excited about the thing that you're giving to. It changes you. You know, there's times people say, John, you seem really excited, and I am. I wish I had your excitement. You can. And you don't have to be a pastor to have the excitement or to have the passion for people or to have the love for the church. Jesus gave us the key. He said this in Matthew chapter 20 or Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, I've never really heard anybody who has been able to really quantify what treasures in heaven will mean for some as opposed to others. I just know this, if he says it makes a difference, it does make a difference. But beyond that, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I mean, the church is continuing to grow. The church is continuing. And part of it is, you know what? People used to ask me in the early days, how long do you think this will last? Because everybody had known of churches that had something special and then it was gone. And here's what I would say. I would say as long as we all keep our heart right, as long as we all keep our heart right, God's going to do amazing things. As long as the main things remain the main things, as long as loving God and loving people and seeing, having a passion and a burden to see them come to know Christ and be set free, as long as we pray and we seek His face, as long as we, you know, listen, the issue is not perfection, but it's as long as we're pursuing the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life, as long as we're passionate about the church. But the day we don't care about the church is the day things will begin to fall apart. Listen, all I'm saying is, this is an opportunity to touch the future. Yes. And you know what? You give, and I'll tell you this, or some of you, you're saying, you know, I just wish I was more passionate. Can I just say, Jesus gives us the key. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right. You value what you invest in. You're passionate about where you put your treasure. And today's an opportunity to invest in the kingdom. So right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like everybody to grab the commitment card, and you might say, well, I've already made a commitment. I know this week several people changed. You know, Debbie and I go through that, and that's how we wound up on the More Than, because, you know, you start, and you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And we were like, we're going to do 100,000, and you're like, no, we're going to do More Than, and then the More Than is more than the More Than, and, you know, because I'm just passionate about it. You say, well, you're the pastor. Listen. That could work against your passion. But it doesn't here, because what I see is amazing. Yes. Amen. What I see is awesome. Yeah. And I just would like every single person to have at least a portion of the passion that Debbie and I enjoy. We are so passionate about the church. So passionate about what God is doing. So passionate about the future. I really do believe the best is yet to come. I believe the best days of this church we're yet to experience. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forwards. We're looking for what God has for us. And that's why I wanted a campaign theme, as we were talking about it, that said something about the future, that said, welcome, hello, future. Because we believe the future has the best we've ever experienced. So you can fill out the card, you can use your phone and click on the QR code and do that. You can go online. But this is the last, you know, people could make commitments ongoing, but we're not gonna be taking time in the service to make commitments. After this Sunday, we're moving on into Jonah. But this today is an opportunity to make a commitment. After we tally up the commitments, and get all of that. So it'll be, you know, we got Labor Day, so it'll be sometime next week. Next Sunday, we're going to announce what God has done, and I can't wait to see what that number's going to be. But I know this. You know, people have said, how come we don't announce a goal? And the reason why is twofold. First of all, if you announce a goal and you don't quite make it, then everybody who's sacrificing says, I'm given to a campaign that wasn't what they needed or what their goal was. We missed it. And I don't want anybody to be disappointed in giving. Second, what Brother Clark said to me, and I love this. He said, you know, John, if the church has a need, it's not your problem. It's not the people's problem. It's God's problem. And God's going to speak to their heart to meet that need. And so you can trust God to speak to their heart, and God will provide what's needed. And you know what? That feels good in my heart. The Lord knows it's His church. And whatever He provides, I know will be sufficient for what we need. I trust Him that much with the church. It's His church.